Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 185, Cooperate with God, Family Coming In, Part 2. Guest minister Sarah Velasquez delivered this message for the Covenant Keeping God series on March 21st, 2021.
Last week was awesome. We explored the subject of covenant pretty in depth. We discovered that the covenant that you have with God, it covers your family.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome? We saw through scripture that it was the covenant that Abraham with God that transformed him from a doubting Abraham into the very father of the faith. Right? God is a covenant-keeping God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He keeps his promises to us.
Yes.
His heart is for our family members and to extend the grace, the mercy, the forgiveness, shalom peace, the list is long, salvation power, deliverance, and healing to them, just as he did in our lives. As he did for us. We can stand strong and confident that God has them, that he is doing a work. I'm going to say that again. He is doing a work. Even though you can't see it, he's working. Even though you can't maybe feel it, he's working. He's the way maker. He's the promise keeper.
Yes.
Amen. So Tanya led us in a little visualization, imagination exercise earlier. We're going to do another one. So imagine there is an apartment building on fire. There are people trapped inside, and the fire is getting worse every second. We hear the sirens of a fire truck approaching, and we feel a sense of relief as the firemen get out and approach the building. Help has arrived, but before they are able to enter the building, someone stops them, pulls them aside, and tells them that the situation is too dangerous. They might lose their lives. What would the firemen say? Get out of the way! This is our job. We know the consequences. We've got this. Let us go so we can get inside and rescue those that are trapped in there. So we wouldn't think very highly of anyone who tried to prevent those firemen from going in and rescuing and saving those who were trapped in a burning building. But often we find ourselves hindering the work that God wants to do in our family members' lives. Or maybe we think that, oh, step out of the way, firemen, I can do it. I'm going to go in. I'm going to rescue them. Ooh, I'm a little sister sandpaper today, aren't I? So God told me, I'm acting on executive orders here. God told me that the title of this message today is Cooperate With Me. He wants us to align ourselves with him so that we're powerfully partnering with God in what he wants to do in our family members' lives.
Yes.
Sometimes we get in the way, and God just is like, I want to move. I want to do things. Get out of the way. We want to be a help. We want to be powerful partners in God's amazing plan for our family members' lives and not a hindrance. So this message is going to help us know, how can I do that? How do I cooperate with God? What does that look like? We have to position ourselves. Okay, we have to position ourselves. So let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you are the way maker. Thank you, Father, that you are making a way where there seems to be no way for our family members to come in to the family of God, to be here sitting next to us, to experience your forgiveness and your salvation power, your healing and deliverance in their lives. Thank you, Jesus, that you are at work. Father, we want to partner with you. We want to be effective partners with you in what you're doing. We don't want to get in the way. We don't want to be a hindrance to your amazing plan, your destiny for their lives. Help us, Father, to receive your word today so that we can align ourselves with you, with your word, with your plan for our family members so that we can watch you work before our very eyes. We thank you for that. I thank you, Father, for your word coming forth powerfully today and and transforming lives. I thank you that you knock down strongholds with your truth. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Thank you for setting us free in our minds, in our hearts today by your word. We thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to position ourselves. It starts with who? It starts with me. Sometimes it's, you know, we sort of get off track and we think about, you know, all the negative, maybe the negative of the other person. Well, they're impossible and they do this and this and they're in their slavery. And we put the focus on negative things and we put the focus on the other person. And God today is saying, take your eyes off of that, cooperate with me, and then watch me work. Okay, so you're like, how do I do that, Sarah? Okay, tell me how I do that. So there are many ways that we can align ourselves to God, position ourselves so that we're cooperating with him and what he wants to do. Number one, we're going to go through, I think I have, I don't know how many there are, six or seven. So number one, how to position yourself and cooperate with God is think God thoughts. We have to think God thoughts, not the negative thoughts, not what it looks like or what I feel, but what does God say about it? So thinking God thoughts is really, that comes from faith. That's having faith, aligning yourself to the word of God, what the word says about my family. That's true. That's more true than anything, than what I see. Than what I feel, no matter what it looks like. So faith. Romans 10, verse 17, we know this verse, right? Faith comes by
hearing
and hearing the word of God, right? So just as you would get faith in your heart if you're believing for, let's say, healing. Let's say you're believing for healing in your body. What do we teach here at my Father's house? What have you heard? You build yourself in faith, right? You listen to those scriptures. You get them in your heart. Whatever way you do that, I like to, and I've shared this with many people, I like to record myself reading certain scriptures. So apply this to your family. Ask the Lord for rhema words, maybe for every family member that you're believing for. Sorry, I just had like a little, Holy Spirit said, take notes today. There's going to be a lot of like practical things. So, sorry, I'm like hearing, he's like, remind them to get out a pen and write some stuff down. And then you can re-listen to this too. Because he just wants to give us like a little guidebook today, I feel like. Okay, so ask the Lord for rhema words because faith, that's how we build our faith. We get the word of faith into our heart. So I have I wrote it out in a Word document, and then I put it into like sheet protectors, and I have it in a little binder, and I have, you know, the different family members that I'm believing for and the specific words for them and maybe some general words about salvation for my family in general or blessing over them. So write them down. Record yourself reading them. Well, however you do it, get it into your heart. Recite them. Declare them out. Get the seed of the word into your heart. It's the incorruptible seed of the word. That verse is 1 Peter 1, 23. It says, I think I marked it here because I didn't write it all out. 1 Peter 1, 23 says, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. So imperishable means it doesn't go bad, right? Like it doesn't waste away. And incorruptible in the King James Version, it says you've been born by the incorruptible seed of the word. That means not subject to death or decay. Are we realizing how powerful the Word of God is, how powerful that seed is? I think if we really understood how powerful that is, we would maybe be making a little bit more effort to get that into our hearts, to let that sink in, not just to be able to memorize it and spit it out, but we have to have it download from our head, just memorizing it into our heart so that we really believe it. So it means incorruptible, everlasting, enduring forever. So when we send this, we plant this seed, we send that word forth, it's enduring forever. Every time you recite that, you declare that over your family members, it's having effect, okay? It's not going to come back void, it says in another place in Scripture. It accomplishes the purpose for which it is sent. So send those words out. Be like Sister Green Thumb and plant, plant, plant. Just plant those seeds out into so that God, the devil, all of heaven's angels can hear you declare the word of God. It is powerful. We bring the presence of God into a situation when we declare his word. So we have to line ourselves up with his word. So what are you thinking? Get rid of the stinking thinking. Think the word of God. And then what are you saying? What's coming out of your mouth? Right? So if you find that, some things are coming out of my mouth that are negative and, you know, you're not speaking life in regards to your family or in regards to any situation that you're, you know, believing to change, speak life over it. Align yourself to the word of God. Okay, so Romans 4:17, call those things, remember, remember the be nots that Cheryl talked about some time ago? The be nots, call those things that be not as though they were. Do it by faith. Okay, so you start by faith and you declare your family member saved, set free, whole, delivered. Amen. And then the new picture of them, when you are putting that faith out and getting that faith into your heart, the new picture of them will come. That's why I like doing things like visualizing is so important. Get that new image of your loved one on the inside of you. You've got to birth it in the spiritual. And how do we do that? Through faith. You birth it in the spiritual. You have to see it with your spiritual eyes to know that you have it. Does that make sense? It's hard to put that into words, but like on the inside of you before it can manifest into the physical. So what God says about your family, the situations, is truer than the current status that you see with your physical eyes. Because the devil is a liar. Okay? So we choose to believe and say the word of God, God's truth, over anything else that we see or feel. We got to like reprogram ourselves. I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying it's powerful when we do it. Okay? And if you mess up, okay? Help me, Jesus, and get back in the word and put it back in so that's what is coming out, because whatever's in your heart, that's what's going to come out, right? And so we want the word of God to be in our heart, not just our own logic and opinions and our own fluff, our own feelings, okay? Because his word is a lot more steady and stable than my up and down changing roller coaster emotions or the way that I perceive things. Okay, so we're going to base ourselves on him. Don't give yourself whiplash being on the roller coaster and going back and forth. Stand on the solid truth of God's word. Okay? So keep that picture of your loved one saved and set free. Keep that picture of them on the inside of you. We aren't moved. Don't be moved. You're like a lighthouse. Does a lighthouse move?
No.
No, it's steady. They're usually made of like bricks, right? Bricks and mortar. They are steady and they just give off a light and it's not moved, right? Stand on the word. We walk by faith and not by sight.
Amen.
So stick with a good confession. Watch out for complaining.
Yes.
Help me, Jesus. Watch out for bitterness.
Yes.
declare good things. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And whatever promises that you are standing on, specific ones for each family member. Okay? 2 Corinthians 10, verses 5 and 6. We demolish. Demolish. That's a strong word. We take it down. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive, put a picture, a visualization to that, a picture. Taking captive, think of like policemen arresting somebody. Taking it captive, like handcuffing, like binding up, right? We take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Like, arrest that sucker. Get it down. Like, as soon as I think I shared this with Pastor Karen, that I had this feeling like when I was doing this really well, help me, Jesus, that I can do this every day, that, like, these thoughts would come that would be doubt against some, you know, against the situation that I'm believing for. And it would be like, I just, like, my thought, I didn't even really have to think about it. I just, like, pounced on it. It was just like that thing came right down before it even could really fully develop, come in. And it was like, just arrest that thing. Like, apprehend it. Like, can you just picture, like, all these men in suits, like, going to boom, like, it's down, it's on the ground, it has no power anymore, it's laying there, it's not active, it doesn't, it's not going to fulfill its purpose, right? That's how we have to be. So be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete, it says in verse 6. So, because the devil will try to pull you into the arena of thought and reasoning, right? The battlefield really is in the mind. And so when we're in that arena and we're looking at things like the circumstances, and we like to analyze and give our own personal opinion about what we think, and we lose every time when we get in that arena. We can't fight there. We can't stay there. We can't analyze things from that thought and reason. That's where the devil wants us, because we end up agreeing with him. Oh, yeah, it looks real bad. I'm never going to receive that. That's not going to be. Ooh, help us, Jesus, to take those thoughts captive and to fight where it really counts, right? And to use the weapons of our warfare. They're not carnal, but they're mighty through the pulling down of strongholds, right? Stand on the word. So many, Kenneth Hagin says this in the Bible Prayer Study Course book. I'm going to give a little plug for it because it's been so awesome. And those of you watching on social media, if I refer to it, this is what I'm talking about, by Kenneth E. Hagin. Many people try to solve their problems with their minds. That only causes confusion, worry, anxiety. Kenneth E. Hagin says, on page 21, he says, you should believe God's word with your spirit from the inside of you, and then shut your mind off to doubt and unbelief and thoughts that are contrary to the word of God. Amen. And believe that with your heart, whether it's you're believing for your family members to get saved and free, or any situation, healing that you're believing, any promise of God that you are standing on, shut your mind off to doubt and unbelief and believe God's word from the inside of you. Believe it with your heart. Act from the inside of you, from your heart, he says. Amen. And that, when you get that faith really on the inside of you, that will influence how you pray. So number one was all about think God thoughts and having faith. Number two is pray God's kind of prayer. Amen. So the prayer of faith, there's the first two chapter, well, I'm not sure where it was exactly, but in here addresses the prayer of faith. When you have faith built up on the inside of you from getting the word in your heart, then concerning, like what you're praying about, then the prayer of faith comes out of your heart strong. And you pray like in Mark 11, right? Mark 11, 23 through 26. When you have that faith strong, you can apply this and really do this. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Okay, so little side note there at the bottom. Lack of forgiveness will trip you up. Take care of that in your heart. Forgive. Forgive your loved ones, because if you're praying for them and you have a bitterness, you have a lack of forgiveness, faith works by love, and bitterness and unforgiveness go against that. So there's going to be a hindrance there to receive the answer to your prayer. So deal with that. Forgive, because God says to do it. Then your prayer will have power. We want our prayers to be effective, right? We want our prayers to be powerful. So deal with that forgiveness. Get that stone, that boulder out. Okay? And so then what he's saying there, pray the prayer and believe it before you see the results. Then it will be yours. Well, how do I do that? By getting faith in your heart. That's why we talked about faith first, because you got to build that up on the inside of you. Get that word in your heart so that when you stand and pray, then you can, or sit down and pray, then you can, or lay prostrate and pray, then you can really believe it, because you have that picture on the inside of you, and nothing's going to move you from that, because I know that I have it. I see it. Okay? And so then it will be yours. It becomes yours when you pray and believe to become yours. Even if it hasn't happened yet in the physical, like in the natural, Jesus says he's taking care of it in the spiritual. So when you align yourself to this type of faith, this type of believing prayer, it's not I see it to believe it. It's I believe it to see it. Okay, so we have to do a little switch there. If you respond to me, well, I just can't see it. Well, then that indicates you need to increase your faith level. Go back to step one. Get God's thoughts. Get that faith. Get faith. Get the word. Get his promise in your heart. That's where you need to work. If you say, well, I just can't pop that out. Okay, get faith in your heart. Work on that first, okay? And then faith will come. Faith always comes. Okay, another kind of prayer. We're talking about pray God's kind of prayer. Another kind of prayer, the prayer of commitment. Do you remember what that was a few chapters ago in the book that we studied? It's casting your cares. Cast them on the Lord. 1 Peter 5:7. The Amplified Version says it this way, casting the whole of your care. That means all of it, all of your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. He cares for us, but our part is to cast our cares. We have to give him those things and leave them there. If I pass my cell phone to Jessica, once I give it to her, she has it, right? And then I say, give me my phone. Or she says, wait, I'm getting myself confused. She says, give me your phone. Give me your phone. I'm like, you already have it. She already has it. I already gave it to her, okay? So sometimes we think that it's okay to pick it back up. It's really not. It's really not. I'm telling you, it doesn't work. It's not effective, and it'll be a hindrance. So lay those things down. Go back to taking captive. Arrest those thoughts. Take them captive to the obedience of Christ. Worry hinders your prayers. If you aren't getting an answer to your prayer, it could be because you're not doing what the Word says. To cast your cares, give your cares to God, and leave them with Him. If us born-again believers would do more casting their cares upon the Lord, there would be many more situations and problems that people are praying about. Kenneth Hagin says this in the book, that would be eliminated because the Lord would begin to work in the situation because we allow Him. We kind of just say, okay, it's yours, take it, I surrender, and we step back and we let Him work. If we've truly given the cares to God concerning our family members and our friends, then we don't have them. Amen. We don't take them back. Don't dig up the seed, right? God's got it. Okay, another way to pray. Pray for laborers upon their path. Pray laborers that would encounter your family members. Matthew 9:38 says this. Pray the prayer of Ephesians 1:17-23. You can declare, did you all get that? Write that down, Ephesians 1:17-23. You declare this, and you can put your family member's name in there. So it says, I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give... Somebody give me a family member that you're praying for a name. Okay, I heard a lot. Ben, I heard. Okay, so I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give Ben the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that Ben may know you better. I pray that the eyes of Ben's heart may be enlightened in order that Ben may know the hope to which you have called him, the riches of his glory, of your glorious inheritance in your holy people. Got to watch your pronouns when you do this. And your incomparably great power for those who believe. Okay, and then it goes on. So put your loved ones in there and recite that, declare that over them. Also in Ephesians 3:14-19. Lupe, okay, for this reason, I kneel before the Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray out of the glorious riches he may strengthen Lupe with power through his spirit in her inner being so that Christ may dwell in Lupe's heart through faith. And I pray that Lupe being rooted and established in love may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, that Lupe knows this love that surpasses knowledge, that she may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Woo, I feel the presence of God. This is so powerful when you do this. Put your family members' names in there. Ephesians 1:17-23 and Ephesians 3:14-19. It's powerful when you pray the word of God. Pray that over them, okay? Pray it over yourself. Put your own name in there. It's okay. It's okay to lay hands on yourself. It's okay to declare. Stir yourself up in your most holy faith. Hallelujah. I'm getting excited. Okay. Also, pray in the spirit over your loved ones. Ooh, talk about power, guys. Talk about power. Tap into the power source. Tap into the supernatural, the heart of God, by spending time praying for your family members in the spirit. It's really fun. It's really exciting. Romans 8:26-28. The spirit helps us. Don't we need help in what to pray for sometimes? Isn't it great? We can just say, you pray, Holy Spirit. Like, time out. Pass the torch. You pray. You pray through me. And he prays through us. He intercedes through us, it says there in Romans 8. The Spirit intercedes for us through wordless groans. And chapter 10 and 11 that we recently read in the book talks about that. The power of intercession, right? And the power of praying in tongues. Whatever you do, pray in faith. Don't pray those like prayers that I used to pray. The old Sarah used to pray like kind of complaining prayers where you kind of, it's like a laundry list of all the bad things going on. Yeah, that's not faith, okay? Get in faith. And remember, faith works by love, okay? So that brings us to the third thing, love. How do I cooperate with God? Love God's way. We have an earthly love. God's love, agape love, is all-encompassing. It's 1 Corinthians tells us all about it, right? We have to serve. We're going to turn there in a second, so you can turn there. I thought I marked it, but maybe I took my marker out. 1 Corinthians 13. There it is. We have to serve our family members in love. God is love, and Jesus lives inside of you. So you have love. Okay? It's not a feeling. It's a fruit of the Spirit. So you have it. We just have to exercise it. We've got to put it into action. Put it into, make it work. You got to work it. Work it, girl. Work that love thing. Sometimes we come to, you know, with our brothers and sisters in Christ and everyone else in the, you know, that we come across in our day, we're loving, we do well, but we come home and we just let it all hang out. Okay? And here's Sister Sandpaper. So it's like easy for us to be loving to people that we don't maybe know as well or see our true colors, and then with the ones that we love and that we're praying for and wanting to see the miraculous work of God, they're the ones that we kind of just say whatever, we treat them whatever, we're selfish, we're impatient. How are we going to let the love of God that's on the inside of us flow out to them if we're not turning it on, if we're just shutting that off? We got to keep that open. Whoops. So let's read that, what this is like. This is what it's going to look like. Get a picture of yourself loving your family members this way. So picture that as I read this, like you interacting with them. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through, we'll read about to 8. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Help us, Jesus. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. And you can keep reading on, but I just wanted you to get the picture. This is the kind of love that we need to interact, that we need to have flowing through us all the time. Be yourself. Be yourself when you're with your family, but be loving. Okay? Love them like Jesus does. I think Donna talked about this last week when she was sharing. Love them with the love of God. Have compassion. We want to be agents that attract. We're trying to attract our family members to the love of God, to the heart of God. And we're not going to do that by being Sister Sandpaper, by being gruff, by being impatient with them, by saying, you haven't gotten this yet. Oh my gosh. You know, by condemning them. We can flow with the love of God when we treat them with kindness, with compassion, with patience, with thoughtfulness, with selflessness. Sister Ellie has shared about the book, The Love Dare. If you want to know more about that, talk to her. I'm not sure who the author is, but The Love Dare walks you through this kind of love and how to practice that and gives you challenges to practice loved ones. It's specifically for marriages, but you can apply that with anybody, with any person. So we need to increase our love walk. We need to imitate the love of Jesus. When it gets hard, do all things as unto the Lord. Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that you are serving. So when you're at a family party, or just in your everyday life with your husband and your wife or your children that are unsaved and maybe acting a little ungrateful, and it's like one of those hard moments, like, I do not want to serve them. Do it as unto the Lord. I'll share a little testimony with you. Some of you have shared this, and of course, my husband is saved. Praise the Lord. But in our, I don't know if this was the first year of marriage, probably in the beginning, we had an argument right before dinner time, and I was not feeling so loving and feeling like, oh, okay, now I'm going to get up and make you dinner. Like, you know, we had a disagreement. It was kind of just like maybe it wasn't fully settled in my heart. And I was like, but I'm hungry and I'm sure he's hungry. And I was like kind of arguing with God on the couch and like, I don't want to fix him dinner. Like, he doesn't deserve dinner, you know, all these thoughts. And the Lord said, well, will you fix dinner for me? And I was like, I think I can do that. Like, I can get my heart around that. I can make dinner for you, Jesus. So I did it, and I got my heart in it and was like, okay, I can do this. Like, the Holy Spirit just knows what we need. Like, just make dinner for me. Don't worry about it. And so we were eating dinner, served it, and he was like, sort of just like, what's going on with you? Because I was okay. And like, we're eating the dinner, and he says, he thanked me toward the end. He said, thank you. That was really good. And he kind of said, well, I didn't know if you were going to make dinner tonight. And I said, and it just fell out of my mouth so quickly, I didn't even think about it. I said, I didn't make dinner for you. I said, I made it for Jesus. And he just looked at me like, oh my gosh, okay. So the Holy Spirit will help you. So do it as unto the Lord. It really helped me. I mean, it just, I didn't make dinner for you. He just like, I think his mouth dropped open. Like, well, he got to enjoy it though. So praise God. So do things as unto the Lord. Okay. It will help you, because I could have been chosen to be bitter and just like not just said, fend for yourself, find something to eat, you know. But I allowed the love of Jesus to flow through me and say, okay, I'm going to do this as unto you, God. I'm going to serve you. Because really, like in marriages and with anyone that you're relating to, you're serving the Lord, you're honoring God through loving that person, right? And so on the days and the moments when it gets really hard, put Jesus there. I'm doing this for you, Jesus. I'm doing this for you in that moment. Okay, live out your walk with Jesus in front of your family members. You don't have to preach to them every day. Get rid of your agenda. I think this is later in my notes, but I have discovered that, you know, having pressure on yourself, having like this agenda, you know, as a full-time missionary, like I'm in Argentina when I was, you know, going out and sharing the gospel with people all the time on the streets, and then pressure would set in when it would be that 1 month that I get to go home and be with my family, like, okay, now they're gonna get saved, and like I have this agenda, and it was just like they felt the pressure, I felt the pressure, and nothing got accomplished except like, you know, like rubbing like this. So be yourself, be loving, just live in front of them and look for opportunities to plant seed. Yes, I'm not saying, because you do have to be intentional. You do have to plant the word. But sometimes we're not the ones to be that one to preach, to actually share the gospel with them. And that's why we pray for laborers upon their path, because God knows who they will listen to. Okay, so you are of influence and they do watch you. So serve God, honor God with your interactions with them, because they're watching. You don't have to engage like your family members do at family parties and things. Let your light shine. Let your light shine. Be loving. Represent Jesus. We're called to be ambassadors. Think of ambassadors of other nations. We're called to be ambassadors to represent him. Sometimes we get opposition because the defeated one doesn't like the light, right? And light and darkness, like, don't go together. And so there's like in the spiritual, there's like an eruption of a chemical equation that is happening, a chemical, you know what I'm saying, right? You get that from my sound effect. I lost my place with the the defeated one doesn't like the light and they feel convicted. Darkness feels convicted by the light. Don't worry. Resist the temptation to get discouraged by that and take it personally, like when they reject you or reject the message that you have. Remember, the word says they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me, God says, right? Jesus says. The Bible says, shake the dust off. Shake the dust off and major in love. Like, focus on love. Focus on love. Major on that, okay? So for myself, when I detect, like, frustration, like, oh, they're just not getting it. I've said the same thing over and over, and they're just not getting it. Or discouragement, fear, unbelief. I'm like, like, take it as a sign. Warning. Like, I need to get back to the feet of Jesus, because me being frustrated, me being discouraged or in fear or in unbelief or any of that is not going to be effective. I'm going to be a hindrance to what God wants to do because I'm blocking it with all my own negative junk, right? So surrender that. Maybe you need to cast your cares and leave it there and get back in faith. Get to your word. Get that word in your heart. Get that picture alive in your heart again, because the other stuff, like I said, is not going to get you anywhere. Proverbs 4:23, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. So when you detect something that's going to pollute or contaminate your heart and not allow that pure love to come out to somebody, stop, all system closed, like, you need to reboot, okay? You need to refresh yourself. You want to cooperate with God. I get out of the way of my of God so that he can move in my family. I get my feelings, my opinions, my logic, my reasoning, my doubts, my fears, all of that, bundle it all up and get it out of the way, so that I can be a pure vessel of love to flow through to people. Okay, number four, fight God's way. We don't fight against flesh and blood. Ephesians 6:12. Bind up the devil. Break his power. Break the devil's power over your loved one's life. And we talked about this before, 2 Corinthians 4-5. I think I read it in the NIV. Now I'm going to read verse 4 in the King James. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You're not fighting against a person. Okay, we need to remember that. Put the fight really, truly where it is. The War Room is a really great movie that shows you, gives you all the details of that. But so we're not fighting against a person. We're fighting against principalities and powers. But we have weapons against that are effective. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So use those weapons of warfare, the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, right? Take your authority. We have authority in the name of Jesus that gives you power over the enemy. Okay? We need to change the way we react sometimes. Sometimes people just, they know, well, that devil definitely knows how to push your buttons. So he's just going to push those buttons and watch you do a reaction, like we talked about the before, and watch you just get all yourself in a tizzy. Sometimes we just need to zip it. Zip it, and or change the way you react to people and what is said. You got to see the spiritual dimension of things and take your authority against it. Don't fight with people. Don't convince people that, you know, that the Bible is true or whatever. Do your fighting in the spiritual. Do your fighting where the battle really is, with the principalities, the strongholds behind it. Bind up the devil's work and break his power over your loved one's life. There's a really powerful testimony. You can read it later, reread it maybe if you've already read it, page 20 and 21 in this book, about Kenneth E. Hagin is sharing about his testimony about his brother and how his brother got saved with his prayer of breaking the devil's power. And he began to, I'll just summarize it, he began to laugh. He got a picture of his brother saved, and the thoughts would come, the doubts would come, and he would just, this laughter just came up on the inside of him. He was like, oh, no, no, no. I can just imagine it with that Kenneth E. Hagin laugh. Have you heard his videos? He's got this great laugh. I can't impersonate it, but you know, when you have that picture on the inside of you, you're going to laugh when the devil comes with this puny argument. Oh, no, like, I'm not moved. And so then, I don't know, a few days passed, and his brother got saved. So read that story. It's really encouraging. You got to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring every thought into captivity. We talked about that already. Okay, there's so much more. Are you guys doing okay? Yes. You're doing all right? Okay. 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. God wants them saved more than you do. He loves them so much, unconditionally. It's not our job to save them. We're not the firemen in this place, in this case. Jesus is their rescuer. He's their Savior. He's their deliverer. Let him do the work, okay? We aren't their Savior. I had to learn that. Be on the lookout for some strategies of the devil, plans of the devil that he tries to, tactics that he tries to execute. One is to discourage us, to wear us out, to stop us from praying and believing. So there is a target on your back, sorry to say, as a born-again believer. And especially if you are the first, we don't say I'm the only Christian. I learned to say I'm the first Christian in my family. So you're a trailblazer, especially, I mean, just if you are standing on the word of God and moving forward in the things of God, you will have a target on your back. But remember the weapons that we have, right? And you have to know that the reason why there's a target on your back, especially if you're the first Christian in your family, you are powerful. You are dangerous. You are armed and dangerous, right? You're a trailblazer. You're the most dangerous one. If the devil can get you out, he's kind of won, you know? And so don't fall into those tactics. Don't fall into those things. Another tactic of the devil, this is really big, strife. That's number five. Avoid strife. How do I cooperate with God for what he's doing in my family? Avoid strife. Strife is deadly. You can't align yourself. Run the other way. Sometimes I say to Santos, I see a trap. I see a trap here set for us. Let's steer clear of the trap of an argument or of tension, okay? Can't align yourself with strife or unforgiveness if you want positive results. Luke 11:17, Jesus said, any kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and a house divided against itself will fall. James 3:16, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work, every vile practice. Ooh. So you're like opening the door for every vile practice, every evil work, when you are partnering with envy and strife, that contention, that is super dangerous. That is like a trap. Help us, Holy Spirit. Just give us a spiritual, like steer clear, zip the mouth. I don't know, use like strong masking tape over your mouth or something. Just super glue maybe. Walk away. Take deep breaths, whatever you do. I choose to walk in love today. I'm walking in the love of Jesus today. I'm walking in the peace of Jesus today. Whatever you need to do, stay away from strife. Strife drops the shield of faith. That's one of the armors, right? Or one of the parts of armor that we have. We have our shield of faith. So when I let strife in, it drops that. It stops prayer results and invites Satan and his cohorts into your midst. Ooh, I don't want to do that. Discord is deadly. It's so deadly. It paralyzes the power of God in your life. So wisen up, church. We got to wisen up. We got to see these traps that are set for us and steer clear of them. Don't allow the defeated one to stop you at your own front door by allowing strife into your front door. Shut the door to that. If you do and you allow strife in, you won't be a threat. You'll be no threat to him and anywhere else. You just won't. It takes your effectiveness away. Okay. James 1:19-27. Let's see if I can summarize this. It says, I'll just read it because it's really good. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. Quick to listen. We have two ears, so we should do more listening than talking. We only have one mouth, right? Slow to speak and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you. It takes humility. It says that humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. We've got to act on the word. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. We need to put this into action. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. If you are able to keep a tight rein on your tongue and continue to allow love to flow out of you, even when people treat you and unbelievers treat you with disrespect, that will speak volumes to people. And you keep out strife, they will be like, oh, she's really practicing what she preaches. She's going to church, but she's not, you know, she's going to church and you know, it says your religion will become worthless if you don't keep a tight rein on your tongue. So come to church, get built up, and go back out and practice, zipping the lip, right? Also, talking about strife, the opposite of strife is agreement, right? You can be in agreement. In chapter 11 of the Bible study prayer course, it talks all about the prayer of agreement. So powerful. Get into agreement with whoever in your house. Put the power of agreement to work. Matthew 18:19 says, again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Another quick testimony, Santos and I were disagreeing about something that we were praying about and how we both saw it and how we should move forward. And there was disagreement there about that. And I realized the Holy Spirit told me, you need to get back into agreement, basically. So here's what we did. Here's what the Holy Spirit led us to do is I went to him and I said, okay, so we're not in agreement about this, and this is going to be a problem if we don't address it, right? And so will you just pray with me, and I'll pray, like, honestly, humbly from our hearts. Let's just lay down. We each have a differing opinion, right? So let's just give that to God. Let's lay that down of, the way I see it, the way I think we should act, my opinion, my logic about it. So we did. We prayed and we said, God, we just lay this down. Whoever's not quite right, or both of us, tweak it. Like, tell us, fix it, so that we can come into agreement, because we understood that that is really powerful. And so then the Holy Spirit did that, and he straightened out the one who needed to be straightened out. It was me, guys. I was the one that needed to be straightened out. So that was really cool. It was cool because we saw that, hey, like, we can like turn how we're going here. We don't have to continue in strife, because it's just going to continue to build and create a problem and create a hindrance. So praise God for the power of agreement. It's powerful. Okay, number six. I guess I just have six. So this is the last one. How to come into agreement. How do I align with God, right? Wait for the Holy Spirit. Yield to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has a plan, and a perfect plan, and he knows the hearts of those that we're wanting to minister to, or our family members. He knows where they're at. So let him be your, I always think of it like a stoplight, red, yellow, green. Let him be your stoplight. If you see red, that means be quiet, stop, don't talk, don't preach, just do your thing with Jesus, okay? And yeah, you interact with them, but show love. Don't minister to your family or your loved ones, your coworker, whatever, your unbelievers, on your own strength. This is really what this is saying. We have to yield to the Holy Spirit. We try to do it in our own strength, and that's when we get an agenda and it gets pressure, and it's not good. Because there's a certain amount of like urgency in our heart, because we love them and we want them saved, and it's hard to see. I understand. I get it. It's hard to see people over and over in their destruction and their slavery. But keep that picture. Got to keep the promises, the words that God has given you, the picture of them saved and set free. You got to keep that on the inside of you, so that you can minister freely. You're a pure vessel when the Holy Spirit gives you that green light to go. So let him lead you. Follow the pillar of fire and cloud of smoke. Yield to him. Where does that come from, the pillar of fire and the cloud of smoke? Yeah, Moses in the Old Testament. But that comes out of your prayer time, your prayer life, your secret life with Jesus. That's when you can hear, you have that discernment, and you develop that, I hear his voice. Take refuge, I guess what I'm trying to say. Take refuge in Jesus. I know it's not easy, but he is your strength, he is your power, and he will work through you if you just yield to him and say, I want to be used. I don't want to be in your way, Lord. But if you want to use me, show me when. Give me that green light. So there's a Proverbs 8, verse 34. I love this verse. It says, blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. I just love that. I can see that. Like, you see like a door right here, and I'm praying and I'm waiting. Let's say I'm interacting with my family members and I am blessed. It says, blessed are those who listen to me. I'm watching daily at your door, God, Holy Spirit. I'm at your door. If you're listening and God's going to whisper something, you got to be up there close at the door, ready for him to just open the door. And guess what? If you're right there, you're going to fall right in it because you're hearing, you're in that intimacy, you're in that secret place with him. And you can follow his voice. That means like you're taking the opportunities that the Holy Spirit sets up for you. Like, here it is. There it is. Like on a silver platter or right at the door. And he opens the door and he says, go. Real quick testimony. And then I'll wrap this up. A few years ago, I think it was at Christmas time. I was home visiting my family and my father made a really bold statement at the Christmas dinner table, and it caused a lot of friction. And I went to bed that night just like I was quiet and I was listening to the discussion, and people got upset and there was like stuff going on. And I was just like mulling this over. And I'm like, Lord, what do I do about this? I can't just let this comment go. And other people were reacting. Somebody got up from the table. It was just like, you know, those lovely family Christmas dinners. And I'm like, I'm your peace, God. I'm your, you know, I'm the one that's supposed to be like, you know, operating here in something that's good and light. And I woke up in the morning and I went to bed praying like, Lord, what do you want me to do about this? That was like an interesting statement. And in the morning, I just got this like green light. And it was like, blessed are you if you're waiting daily at my doors. Because I had been praying for opportunities. And whenever I'm with my family and praying for opportunities, God, just show me don't let it be me. Don't let it be my own agenda, but show me that green light and I will speak. But I don't want to mess things up either. Right. And so I woke up in the morning and it was like green light, go. And I just like knew that because of my own fear and other times, maybe I'd gotten a green light in the spirit, but I talked myself out of it. And it was just like anxiety, you know, I got nervous, whatever. And so I didn't do it. So I just like, I put a wristband and, a card, the tools in my pocket. And I'm just like, green light, go. I don't even care about coffee right now. I'm just like, and I prayed and I just, and I went and I used the model of Jesus that Time to Revive taught us about love, listen, discern, and respond. Let me tell you, that is effective. That is really powerful. That's the way that you can approach people. You love, you approach them first with love. You listen to them. Which is a big way to show love. You ask questions and you just listen to their answer, dialogue with people. You discern in the spirit, Holy Spirit, what do you want? What's going on here? Read between the lines, help me to know. And then you respond, right? And I used that approach and I had this beautiful conversation with my father. And I started with, you know, that comment that you made at the table last night, you know, you definitely got some reactions there. And I was just thinking about that. I wanted to ask you more about that. And I just asked him a question and I listened. And he dialogued with me like for the first time, and I was able to walk him through the gospel tools. It was so beautiful. I mean, it was just really awesome. He wasn't quite sure about some of it, but he was open to dialogue with me like for the first time. And that was really awesome because the Lord gave me that green light and just said, go. It was like, now's the time. And that, so wait for those opportunities. Don't speak or move out of your own desperation, your own urgency, because it just doesn't usually go well. I can tell you not so positive stories as well. So plant seeds where the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit leads. Like for example, if a family member, I've done this before, like somebody is kind of complaining about something, like a problem that they're having. If you share something that's worked for you, and sometimes I do it without mentioning, I mean, sometimes I'm very open. It just depends on the situation and the person. And I just say, you know, I speak the principles of God. I speak the word of God. And other times it's like I say it without saying that, and so that they'll receive it. But we never want to water down the word of truth. Speak truth in love. Okay. I don't want to be confusing about that. But wait for those moments to plant those seeds. And when you share a testimony about something that you overcame, a problem that you overcame, they can't argue with a testimony that you shared. They might reject it. They might not want to hear it. They might tell you to stop. Okay, so you do that, okay? But if the Lord is telling you, go ahead, plant that seed. Well, do you want to hear something that worked for me? How I? And always ask permission. That's another thing that we've learned from Time to Revive that's been very effective. Ask permission. You're not going to be rude. You're not just going to, you know, pounce on them, but ask permission. If they say no, okay, respect that and get a bitterness out of your heart. If they tell you no, all right, wait for another opportunity, pray, continue to pray for them. But ask for permission to share something that's worked for you. Nobody can argue with your experience. It's your experience, right? It is important to put boundaries when needed. Sometimes people don't, they want to walk all over us because they know that, you know, we lead with love. But it is important, and listen to the Holy Spirit about how to tell people no sometimes. That's okay. Sometimes we need to put boundaries and say, nope, up to here. Be led in the Holy Spirit about that. Those are some of the practical things that I've learned in my interactions with family. Okay, conclusion. So we want to cooperate with God. We want to get out of the way, right? So that we can be powerful partners with Him. And it is possible. I just want to be encouraging. I want to encourage all of you. I hope this was helpful to give you some practical tools and scripture tools about what does that look like and how do you really cooperate with God? So just to review then, the ways that we cooperate and we position ourselves with God. Think, number one, think God thoughts, which has to do with our faith. Number two, pray God's kind of prayers. Three, love God's way. Be a pure vessel for love, right? Number four, fight God's way. It's a spiritual battle, not a fleshly, I'm not battling my cousin Marge. Number five, avoid strife at all costs. Avoid strife. Go the other way. Number six, wait for the Holy Spirit. Yield to the Holy Spirit. So we can do this, church. Are you encouraged? We can do this. We can partner with God. Plant seeds. Walk in love. Increase our love walk. We're all going to be walking around with these big love muscles. It's going to be great. Don't pick up the burden. Cast your cares and leave it there. Your family belongs to the Lord. Refuge, take refuge in the Lord. He is your strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Run there and get your strength, get your directions, your marching orders from Him. In Jesus' strength, we can do this, and we will see them coming in that door like we visualized. Agree with God. Align yourself to His word, watch God move, and witness your family members coming like they're just going to fall at Jesus' feet like dominoes. Like picture that. Boom, 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 boom. It's powerful. And worship. I didn't talk about worship, but the power of worship. Thank Him for it in advance. That's faith in action. Praise Him for it. And so we're going to, a few minutes, have another little worship set. So thank Him, praise Him, celebrate that they are healed and set free and saved, serving God on fire, coming to church with you, part of a cell group. It's going to be awesome. So thank Him in advance. Worship Him because He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and His heart is for your family members. So let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your heart We thank you for your heart of love. We thank you that you have each and every one of our family members in your heart. You have not forgotten them. You see them, even in their sin, even in their slavery. You see them and you love them. We declare that the blood of Jesus covers them. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, that you want to use us, Father, to be a light to others, to be salt and to be light. Thank you, Jesus, that you've given us directions in your word about how to be powerful partners with you, how to cooperate with you, how to line up with you, how to fight the right battle. Father, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you just help us this week and every day, Father, to walk in the power of your Holy Spirit, that we are looking to you because you are the author and perfecter of our faith. Let our faith produce results. We want to see fruit and fruit that remains. We pray that our loved ones' hearts are fertile soil, fertile ground to receive your word. And we do pray laborers into their path. In Jesus' mighty name, lift up, raise up men and women of God that will speak and speak your word to them in the way that they will listen and receive it. We thank you for that. Father, thank you, Father. You help us, Holy Spirit, to be pure channels of love for you. That if we don't do anything else, if we don't even preach to them, if they're not going to receive it and you give us the red light to stop, Father, that they will see just by the way we treat them, by the way we serve them in love, the way we respond with patience, with selflessness, Father, with compassion, that we are demonstrating your love to them, and your love never fails. So I thank you for radically changing lives of our family members through us, through whatever you want to use. Thank you, Jesus, that you help us this week to see the trap that the devil sets for us and steer clear, go the other way from strife. Give us a revelation of what strife looks like, Father. And that we can understand that it's deadly, that it's that it will make us ineffective. We don't want to drop our shield of faith. We want to hold that shield of faith high. We want to stand strong in the armor that you have given us, Father, to be co-laborers with you in your work for our family members. I thank you, Jesus, for the work that you are doing. From the first day that any of us prayed for our loved ones, you heard our prayer and you answered. And we stand and we believe. Help us, Holy Spirit. I pray that each one, you would give each one a picture of their loved ones saved and whole, sitting in church with them today. Thank you, Jesus, for allowing us to just walk in faith and not by sight. Help us, Holy Spirit, when it gets hard to press in faith with our patience, holding that faith up until it receives the promise. Thank you, Jesus, because our faith is powerful. It's you at work. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. We bless you today. I pray, Lord, for the people watching and listening on podcast and Facebook Live and YouTube. Father, I pray blessings over them, blessings of peace, peace. I declare peace over them in their homes in Jesus' name. I declare that hope is in their hearts. Hope resides in their hearts for whatever they are believing for. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for healed bodies, for things coming into alignment, bodies coming into alignment, people that are agreeing with your word, body parts coming into alignment with your word to be transformed. Your life is health and healing to all of our flesh. Thank you, Jesus, for causing healing to rise up and manifest in their bodies now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. We pray blessings over them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for strength this week. Strength to stand on your word. Strength to walk in your promises, no matter what it looks like. Thank you, Jesus. You are good and you are faithful. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.